Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. I am here to tell you that we are a center that is all about living life and living it at its fullest. We support people in their lives, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your life choices, as long as they are about living life greater and in a more expansive way, because that's what life's about. It's about living. People say, what is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to live it. And then you get to sort out what it means for you and how you live it and what you choose and where you go and what you do. We are a place that honors all people, whatever your self-identification, whatever you call yourself, whatever your preferred pronouns are. We love you, we celebrate you, and we want to support you in your path that you are choosing, not the one we or anyone else tries to assign to you. So freedom is a cornerstone of what we teach and what we're about. We are a place that teaches spiritual practices, that brings forward ideas where you can learn by doing, not just by getting the philosophy. We also teach a philosophy that's behind this, a philosophy of oneness and a philosophy of unity. And in that and from that come all of the practices and the ways in which we can indeed change our thinking and change our lives. Because that's what matters most. It's how you're thinking about what happens to you, not what happens to you, because that stuff comes and goes and life just does its thing and sometimes we get surprised. But what we think about it has everything to do with how we're going to ultimately experience those surprises. So, who are we? That's who we are. I'll tell you more about who we are as you listen to our Declaration of Principles, which was written originally by Dr. Ernest Holmes. Listen up. I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. That Declaration of Principles says, because that's just a small part of it, you'll find it on our website at cslmidtown.org. In its full form. And it's very interesting. I invite you to, if you've never done it, take a look. It can be, it can give you some things to think about and question, because our point in doing that isn't so much to say this is what you have to believe to be part of this group, but this is what we are all aspiring to or thinking about or moving toward, and it gives us a litmus, a way to look at that and measure who and where we are. Now, some of those folks you saw up there are spiritual mind, or religious science practitioners, rather. They teach science of mind. Practitioner is someone who has studied this teaching, who has demonstrated that they can make amazing, wonderful changes in their life as a result of changing their thinking, using some of the techniques and philosophy that we teach. And then those who demonstrate that for others, as well as themselves, get licensed. And that comes from our international headquarters, CS, Centers for Spiritual Living. So today we have one of our licensed practitioners to share with us, who is, we are so happy to have back with us from his travels around the world, or not quite around the world, but all over the place. And Lee Huffman will share with you now. Thank you. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Bob. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope you have an amazing weekend. I've said this before from this platform, that my favorite line out of the statement of principles, the short one that we have, is the third line, which says, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. Last week, and I'm not even sure which app came up on my phone that did this, but a minister was talking, and his sermon actually proved this point. While this weekend focuses on Jesus and the resurrection in the Christian faith, the minister was speaking about someone who's almost forgotten in that story. And that person is the thief that's on the cross beside him. There were two criminals, and there's a number of stories as to who's who, but there's a thief, maybe they both were. But those of us that were brought up in the Christian traditions know that Jesus turned to him because one was bad-mouthing him. He turned to the other one who was supporting him and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. So I'm driving on down the road and I'm thinking, what did the conversation look like when the thief got to paradise, got to the gate, and started talking with St. Peter? So I imagine something like this. St. Peter would say, hello, how are you? Now the thief, a little bit dismayed, says, I'm here, and a little bit bewildered. St. Peter might ask, why are you here? And pointing at Jesus standing beside him, the thief may say, he told me I could come. St. Peter would say, okay, but you know, do you understand the doctrine of faith? And the thief would say, well, no, but he told me I could come. Well, have you been baptized in the river? No, but this man told me I could come. So did you give a tithe of all your earnings to your church? And the thief would say, no. Earnings is a little bit strange word there, but no. But I believe this man when he told me that I could come and get into paradise and that I could live forever. About that time, old St. Peter would say, his eyes would light up, and he would say, so you believed? And the thief would say, yes, sir, I do believe. Then with a broad smile on his face, St. Peter would turn, unlock the gate, open it wide, and with a gesture welcoming the thief into paradise, he would say, and so it is. That's all it is. All thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. As a practitioner, we study a lot, and it's an honor to study under such leaders as Reverend Dean and others that we've studied over the years. But also as a practitioner, we get the honor of saying, writing, and providing spiritual mind treatments for the people in our community, and we're happy to do that. You can find the practitioners on our website and reach out to them. Spiritual mind treatment is a powerful tool for helping us believe. It helps erase any doubt that we have and strengthens our belief system. It helps us know what is true. So today, I have the opportunity to lead us through a spiritual mind treatment, a simple affirmative prayer, much like the Lord's Prayer and other prayers that you'll find in spiritual writings all around. But since I can only create a belief system in myself, and you can only create your belief system, I will say it in my words. I will say it in the first person. As you hear my words, take any part of it that resonates with you, that is true for you, and say it in your own mind. Treat your own mind with it. so that you can believe it and it can change for you. If there's any part of it that doesn't resonate with you, throw it away. It doesn't matter. What's left will be good for you. So let's take a deep breath and relax and clear our minds. Take another deep breath. Push away the sound of that dog barking outside your door. That noise coming from down the road. The sorrow from what we have lost in the past few weeks. All the things that might distract us from this moment right now. Breathe deeply and just let the last week go by. Prepare yourself to fill your mind. Whatever it is that you need to believe and receive, the goodness from the universe, be open to that. Now know this with me if you will. I believe that there is one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I know in the beginning, the only thing there was God. God, therefore, created everything out of itself. God can manifest anything that I desire and believe. If I have a need for comfort, God will comfort me because I believe. If I have a need for companionship, God will provide companionship for me because I believe. If I have a need for finances and the ability to give, the ability to put food on my table, God will provide that because I believe the universe will provide. I know these things are true. I know that nothing can get in the way of my beliefs manifesting. I know this because I believe in it. And every thought that I have is creative and creates my world, the universe around me. So now I release these words into the universe, knowing that they will not return to me void, and that every need will be met. And together we say what St. Peter said in the story. And so it is.
Here to welcome you and wish you happy Easter. Everybody, I'm wearing my pink because that's what you do on Easter. You wear something bright colored and pastel. And when I was growing up, you also wore something new always on Easter. We got new shoes and new outfits. Couldn't wear them until Easter Sunday, which sounded great, except new dress shoes without being broken in are miserable. And to wear them all day Sunday with sore feet, it's just too bad. You got to break them in. Can't break them in ahead of time. You got to wear them Easter Sunday because everything's new. It's a brand new day. This is Easter. This is Esther. It is also the celebration of the resurrection day in the Christian world. And in other worlds and pre-Christian worlds, this was the celebration of Esther. Esther, the goddess of fertility and growth. And it is the fertility rites where that wonderful little bunny rabbit comes from. You know the one? The Easter bunny that lays eggs? Figure that out biologically. But I love it that we do, at this time of year, all of our deep conscious awarenesses that we're not even aware of consciously, but in our subjective subconscious mind, comes bubbling up. Right now, today, hour by hour, as the light makes its way around the globe, 2.3 billion people are celebrating their spiritual truth. Let that sink in. That's 31.2% of the population of the world today is celebrating. I don't know about you, but every year when I wake up on Easter morning, whether I'm thinking about anything religious or not, I feel that the life and the energy is different. It's stronger. It's better. So whether you are aware of that and pay attention, it's happening. You see, we say change our thinking, change our experience, change our life. Well, when 32% almost of the people in the world are changing their thinking on that day, on this day, and focusing on things of the heart, things of truth, things that matter, it changes everything in its wake. That means you and me and everything on the planet. I find it interesting that in this hemisphere, at this time of year, it always gets colder for this weekend. You know, Easter doesn't come at the same time every year. You may have noticed that, at least not on the calendar. It comes the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And who says we're not pagans at heart? You know, come on, people. That's when they decide when Easter is. And they've been doing this for hundreds of years, as long as there's been a Christian calendar. I mean, think about that. This is not like just a Christian celebration that's done in a particular certain way. I have to say, I love it when I drive around on Sunday mornings, oh, by the way, here or wherever, and I see all these wonderful, strong, strict, heartfelt, conservative Baptist churches having Easter egg hunts. Sending their kids out in the yard while they're listening to the sermon doing fertility rites that go back way before Christianity. Now, they don't know that's what they're doing. It's just a fun celebration. I don't even know when it started to be associated, frankly, with church, but it has been as long as I can remember. That was the excitement. You get up at daylight to see what the Easter Bunny left, and it's gone on and grown from there. You know, this time of year is built on an old mystic and mythical, I can't even say it, come on out, you'll get it out in a minute. The god Mithra, which precedes Jesus by many years, hundreds of years, was the primary religion of the Roman soldiers. And in that religion, Mithra destroyed his son, sent him into Hades for 3 days, taking with him the sins of the people and receiving the punishment for the evil of their sins, and was resurrected on the third day. The goddess Ishtar, for whom Easter is named, her son's got a rough deal in the old gods, her son was crucified on a tree near the fields. This was not done as human sacrifice. It was a myth. It was a mystical idea. Crucified and bled out into the ground, and his blood revitalized and brought new life, new crops, new babies, new everything to the planet at that time. This day, this time of year, is ancient in our human experience and human beliefs and human practices. That's my whole point. I also found it interesting, as I was looking around at this, that there's the other interesting idea is that the second largest religious group on the planet, which is about 1.8 billion people, are Muslims. So between Muslims and Christians, that's over half the population. And ultimately and finally, there's only a small sliver of the population that isn't churched or in some sort of spiritual identification. I think that's kind of amazing. Not sure where we get put in New Thought, whether we're in that non-affiliated or in that other category, but that I'll find out next time. So it's Easter, it's Esther, it's Mithra, and more. Those are just a few of the things that have gone on at this time of year. It is a celebration of spring, it's a celebration of new life, And that's what we're all about today. It's new clothes and new shoes, new ideas, newness everywhere you look. Spring fashions are out. People are painting it out, looking and enjoying all these new things. All of this is a deep call from, it's a part of our very DNA that we feel and relate to this thing happening right now. And that's why I'm pointing to that. Because wherever your current faith belief or ideas about what life is and what spirituality is, it is ancient and old and being pulled, and all people, you know, more people go to Christian church on this Sunday than any other Sunday of the year. Churches have to plan extra services, and they plan, have to manage parking lots in a way they never do because all of the congregations show up. Our centers often are New Thought, New Age, more New Agey, New Thought kind of places are smaller today because everybody's going with mama and them back to the church they came from. Because there's also a whole lot of pressure, whether you believe in any of it or not, to carry forward the family traditions that go on this day. To have those family events and experiences and feel those connections. Because that's what it's all about, is that connection. You know? It tells people who they are. You know, Christianity is based on a central story, one story. Now, in that story, there are so many interpretations. 45,000 different Christian denominations in the world. Think about that. No wonder we all have a lot of different groups. Science of Mind is no exception. We have our groups too. But they all revolve around a story which unifies and links people and gives us a sense of connection and a sense of belonging to something. And I say us because many people link us to the Christian denomination. We are definitely not, but we are definitely are. It's an interesting thing. Jesus is a great prophet and teacher, and we have believed since the formation of Science of Mind that it's the ideas there are very core to our teaching. But not that He is the great exception that came along to save all of us. Rather, He is the great example for all of us. That Jesus, and Jesus Himself said it, that what we can do, what I am doing, you can do and more. I mean, and that's true in so many ways. We heal in ways that He never even thought of or heard of. We live and grow in ways that He never knew about. And that is a blasphemous statement in many places. One of my early Science of Mind teachers said, you know, Jesus came to point the way, and we've been studying His fingernail ever since. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. We get lost in the detail, we get caught up in that stuff, and get lost on what He's pointing to, which is what Easter is really all about. You know? So here's the punchline from all of this. You can't have Easter. You can't have Resurrection Sunday without Good Friday. And that's the part a lot of folks prefer not to notice. So you don't have a lot of people at Good Friday services, but you sure have plenty on Easter. Because we want to celebrate the new life. We want to see the new life. And many people say our teaching is all about just celebrating the new life, and let's ignore anything to do with Good Fridays, even though every one of us have Good Fridays in our lives. And by Good Fridays, I mean, you know what Good Friday is? It's the good day. The story says that Jesus died on the cross. And that which Lee just pointed to and made His final statements to all of us. And whether you believe that to be a true story or a mythic story, which is one that is true and happening, whether it ever factually happened to a real person or not, however you believe it, that story is core and central to every human being in this part of the planet where Christianity is dominant. And in order to have that resurrection, you got to have something to resurrect from. In order to move into new life, you got to have something to leave behind. So new life, to embrace something, is to bring light out of the darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some darkness in my life. I've had times where I really need to not live in that anymore, and to have it be sacrificed and crucified and done away with for me. I prefer it not to be painful, but sometimes when I delay the letting go and the releasing, it can feel like a crucifixion to let it go. Letting go relationships that matter a lot, but which just don't work anymore. Or where one or another person in them says, I'm done. And you feel the heartbreak of that. Releasing what no longer serves us. Things in our lives that used to make a lot of sense, that just don't anymore. You know the old story, I'm sure by now, that of Christmas or Easter Day when they're baking the ham in the kitchen and they cut off the end of it and put it in the pan and put it in the oven, and the daughter's wife and the mom's doing it. The kid says, "Mom, why do you cut the end off the ham and don't you cook it?" "Well, you know, I don't know. Mama always did that. She's in the other room. Let's go ask her." So they go ask Mom, "Why do you cut the end off the ham?" "I don't know. I guess because Grandma always did it." "Well, she's taking a nap upstairs. Let's go upstairs and ask her." I go up to Grandma and say, "Why did you cut the end off the ham every time?" "Well, I only had a pot that big, so I had to cut the end off so the ham would fit in it." So here we are, generations later, still cutting the end off the ham because it was necessary at some point in the past. So much of the pain and hurt that we carry and that continues to mess with us is stuff that just no longer serves us, but we're hanging on to it because it did at one time. It was protection. It was ways that we coped. It was ways to deal with things how they were. And they have changed, but we have not allowed our thinking to change with them. Think about where that would be in your life. Where are the ham hocks you're throwing away? We don't throw those away in the South, but in other parts of the country they do. Yeah. See, it's those old feelings, those old ideas. That's what releasing is about. It's not about releasing things that still serve us. Releasing things that still matter to us, releasing things we still want to do or be. It's about releasing what doesn't. Sacrificing being right for being connected. I don't know about you, but most of my relationships, that's always been an issue. I would rather be right, thank you, because I am. But there reaches a point where I'd rather be loved than right. Doesn't mean I can't still have opinions. So the Good Friday thing is that which goes before, is that which is dark. I have an interesting thing here from before I go there. It's this is a tricky kind of conversation because it can start to sound like I'm talking about good and evil, darkness and light, as if they are two powers or two forces in our lives. As if I'm talking about a duality. And one of the criticisms that many people have of certain versions of Christianity is its dualism, that it's the belief in two powers. But at its deepest core, at its real truth, at its earliest expressions, it is not dualistic. It is polarity, and there's a difference in a dualism and a polarity. A dualism says light and dark are two different things. Polarity says light and dark are two expressions of the same thing. There is no such thing as a dark bulb. Not even a black light is a dark bulb. You can't turn on the darkness as a thing by turning on a switch. You could turn on the darkness by turning off the light. But there's still light. So light and dark are two ends of the same spectrum. They're two parts of the same, two ends to the same pole. Like a magnet has positive and negative. Those aren't separate different energies. They're just different ends of the magnet where the electricity is flowing in a different direction. Same thing is true with hot and cold. They're not two different things. Coming in here this morning when the heat wasn't quite up to where it ought to be has felt like a polarity. It's felt like a duality. It was cold. But the truth is, it was still warm in here. Nothing was freezing. Nothing was icing over. And even if it had been, there was still a presence of heat. Hot and cold are one thing at different points in intensity and frequency. So they're polarity, not a duality. So I'm saying that to say when I'm talking about light and dark, when I'm talking about Good Friday and Easter, I'm saying those have to be together because they are a polarity, singular thing, not because they're two different things. One with darkness and pain, the other with light and freedom. Sometimes we go through our pain in order to release and move into that lightness and freedom because that's what's available to us. That's where we've been. And because we start out in a world that teaches us about all of these things that aren't the truth, that don't work and aren't real. And as we get more and more connected to our realities, those polarities may not be as distant to one another, so our pain may not be as extreme, and our joy may not seem as high, or may be higher, but as the polarities come closer together, they're both still very, very important and very strong and very real. So you may not suffer things the same way you once did, but you'll have greater freedom. Hot, cold, up, down, same thing. Where is up in on a round planet flying through space in that's looping and circling and spiraling? Which way is up? Depends on where you're standing, right? Up is a completely relative term. So it's down. Relative to what? Where I am. Relative to gravity. Now all that simply leads into this other idea that I want to share real quickly is about the scientists are now telling us very clearly in this business of light and dark that there is a larger spectrum of light and dark than we have yet known. Human beings see light, and we know what is around us and what is there. I see this podium, so it seems real to me. I see you, so you're really here. I see all of my world around me. Everything in the physical world I can see is because of light. And yet I see only a tiny spectrum of the huge spectrum frequency that light is. And out in its far regions is something called dark. And there's also something out there called dark matter. And we are constantly surrounded not only by light matter that we can see, but dark matter all in between and around it. It's here. It's filling us. It's everywhere. And we are able, by changing our thinking and changing our seeing, to pull realities out of that dark matter into the light that we may not have known before. That's why when you suddenly decide you want to buy a red Toyota, everywhere you look, there's suddenly red Toyotas. Now, they were all there before, but you didn't see them because they weren't part of your reality. They were hidden in the dark. So those dark experiences simply guide us to what is more important and powerful and truthful for us of the light. The Toyota is a very crude example or experience of that. See, when we perceive reality, we are perceiving the light reality. But when we learn to open beyond our five senses, we begin to perceive things that are far beyond that. A big part of what practitioners learn in our training and teaching is that every cubic inch of space is filled with as much dark energy as it is filled with light energy. And it is all of that is part of the total creative power of the infinite showing up right where you are. And that creativity shows up in response to your thinking, your belief, your conviction. That's why we can say, change your thinking and you will change your prosperity. It's there waiting for you. It's available to all of us in many, many forms of prosperity, whatever forms you can accept and receive. But you change our belief in it, I change our thinking about it, we draw more of it out of the part that can't be seen into what is seen. Someone used to say, so if I'm treating for more money, where's that money now? It's wherever it is. And you're going to bring it to you by changing. But you're not going to bring it from somebody else. There's an infinite supply of goodness and power and availability. It's also how we can heal instantly. Our bodies are not only are filled with light energy, they are filled with dark energy. And that dark energy can transform and change in a heartbeat, in a moment. As we completely develop that belief in and feeling of its fullness, its possibility, and its greatness. So there's this vastness simply waiting for you to recognize that, like Jesus, you could say, it's finished. I am done with this old stuff. I don't want it anymore. I'm not playing there. Which is a real bad paraphrase of the words from the cross on Good Friday. I've always thought it was strange until I understood some of this that Good Friday was called Good Friday. That's why. Because there's a deep understanding even in that spiritual world as well. That it was a good thing happening that day. Whether it was a factual thing or a symbolic thing. And instead we emerge into the now, into the love, into the power, into the goodness. So ultimately and finally, this is a day of celebration of the one power, the one love, the one intelligence that's underneath, behind, and with all of this that we're talking about, of the thing itself. And that in which we all are created, in which we live, which we move, in which we have our being. Because ultimately, believe it or not, every one of you, every one of us, is absolutely wonderful. You are the risen Christ in your life. Today we are celebrating you as well. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. What an awesome talk. Lots of education there, too. Different stuff, learning, which brings us to why we're here. To come together, to celebrate, to learn, to grow, to be in this spiritual community. And with that, it's a time to give. You'll see on the screen our affirmation of prosperity. You can click on the QR code. Mm-hmm. You can put money in the basket in the back of the room. And online, you can set up a one-time donation or an ongoing donation, however that works for you in your life. So if you will, with me, say our affirmation of prosperity.
I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is.
In addition to money, time and talent are things that we like to receive, and in that, we're looking for people to help set up and take down here in person. And if you're interested in technology, there's all kinds of opportunity there. So if that's something that you're interested in, on the website, there's a link to email for Dr. Bob to do that, to help volunteer, whether it's here or remotely. We can do either one of those. So think about that. If that's your talent, please share that with us. Thank you. And back to Dr. Bob.
Whoops. Come on. I can do it. So, in addition, I would just say any talent that you have that you would like to share, we'll find a way to make it an important and integral part of this community. Because we are a community that's not just about receiving, but it's also a community about giving. And so we give and receive and give and receive, and the flow circle keeps going and keeps going. If you have a lack in some area in your life and you want it to be improved, find somewhere to give that matches it. Find a way to set it, because it's like priming a pump. You get it started and you get the suction going and the pump starts pulling the water up and away you go. And the same thing here. When we had an office that had a in-person place, I used to tell folks, you're looking for a job, you can't find one, come work in the office for a week and you'll get a job, because it'll change your thinking just being there and being around other people like us who believe in your possibility, and that will help you manifest what you're looking for. Well, we don't have an office now. We have offices all around, as we each have our little parts and pieces to do. So that's where what Vance was saying about attracting or inviting you to participate in any of the electronic world that you want to participate. It's a good thing. So let us join then as we close, before I get wound up again and start preaching. Let's share together our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need, the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. And so it is. Have a wonderful week. Happy Easter. Happy brunch. Because everybody goes to brunch on Easter. Thank you.